I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Weber.
Here.
Councilmember Pepper.
Here.
Councilmember Peppers.
Thank you for the floor. This is about changes to and approval of the agenda per Council Rule 3.4. I move to adopt the Council-approved agenda per Council Rules of Procedure. Do I have a second?
I'll second you, Pat.
Thank you, Councilmember Morgan. Copies of this agenda are available on the table as you come in. The changes from the posted agenda are consent agenda after new business. In accordance with Council Rule 3.2, committee assignments are shown. Item 9 is on the amended resolution on fuel tax agreement. There is an additional item under unfinished business, item 12, update on the RFQ for the MDRT consultants. A vote of the council sets a process for building a meeting agenda. This process is our council rules and is designed to help the council have an efficient meeting. It is common for cities to have a process for creating the agenda. Some of these rules are cited on the top of the agenda printed for tonight's meeting. In Black Diamond's case, two council members are delegated by the council to approve the agenda. Approval means making the agenda, sure the agenda follows the rules as voted by the council. This process needs to be followed by the mayor and the city clerk prior to posting an agenda to the website. If the public wonders why the agenda, is updated.
Any discussion?
Excuse me, no. Is updated at every meeting. It is simply because the process that is required is not being followed. As a council member, I'm doing my best to follow it. The meeting agenda matters, and our meetings would be much more efficient and productive if we follow the council's adopted policy on publishing the agenda. The council has this right under RCW 35A.11.020 and 35A.12.120, and I quote, the council shall determine its own rules and order of business and may establish rules for the conduct of council meetings. Attorney Glenn, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the website? Is the city obligated?
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Point of order.
Is the city, you need to let us have a
chance to speak to your motion.
Is the city obligated to build the agenda according to council rules?
Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, first of all, in the last 18 months, we have had multiple attorneys tell us that your council rules are illegal. So on that premise, it doesn't matter. The second issue I want to bring up is the city administration has a process for generating and putting out in the packet the agenda. What is to keep you and any of the other council members here from talking to the mayor and the city clerk according to the schedule that is lined out where you have to have all of the information in the Tuesday before the Friday where the packet is released? It's like 9-10 days, whatever that is. The thing is that you don't follow that process. You guys come in at the last minute with changes. You don't even adhere to your own processes. The onus is on you as a council member to talk to the mayor and the clerk to make sure that whatever agenda is published in the packet is what, even if it's you two, what you agree to. It's not the mayor or the clerk's fault that you guys come in at the last minute with revisions and then you beg them to put it onto the packet. That's not how it works. You need to follow the established procedures of the city that's outside the rules because you don't follow the rules.
Is there any further discussion? All council member?
I would just like to ask Attorney Glenn, could you please advise us on the posting of the agenda to the website? Is the city obligated to build the agenda according to the council rules?
You want my opinion too?
Point of order.
Point of order.
You need to keep control on your husband.
You need
this is a public meeting.
The attorney, excuse me, the attorney Glenn is not our attorney.
Correct.
That is not a correct thing to do. He brought his opinion with him. We've argued about this for a long time. You don't do it according to our established rules. And so we have an issue here. But let's just vote on whether your agenda is accepted or not and get it over with so we can move on with the meeting.
The council voted services, legal services for attorney last time at the meeting, and I'm asking that attorney a
that
question.
That attorney does not have a contract with us. That attorney does not have a contract. That attorney does not have a contract.
He does have a contract. And
may I be recognized?
Councilmember Edelman.
I would like to know, Ms. Pepper, where in the revised code of Washington does it give you, with a made-up title of council president, the authority to sign any contract obligating funds for the city of Black Diamond? Where is it?
If the mayor is not...
No, excuse me. Answer my question. No, answer my question. What gives you the authority to sign a contract and obligate funds?
May I have the floor?
No, I haven't spoken yet. You've already had a chance.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. I want an answer. Look through your notes. Obviously, I've asked this question before. Obviously, your handler should have prepared you to have an answer to this question. You cannot just make up your authority out of thin air. You have got to have the authority in the revised code of Washington or in our ordinances that would give you specific, as a council member, authority to sign a contract and obligate funds. Where is your authority?
And be on behalf of the council. You don't have authority on behalf of me or any other council member to sign a contract, nor do you have authority to just go out and pick an attorney. One council member is nothing. A body of council has authority, but you don't have authority to sign a contract. The mayor has that authority. The city clerk doesn't have that authority. So, Councilmember Pepper, it would be good, this is the place for debate, and it would be good when you do something like that to actually come with an answer. And if you don't have that, like Janie said, your person from Bellevue is here to help you. So maybe you should call on her, just like you're calling on your gentleman out here. So
those remarks are not germane to the agenda approval.
It is germane. It is very
you
germane.
You haven't answered my question yet.
True. Councilmember Morgan.
This also is not germane, but I'd like to point out that the majority voted under its contracting authority granted to it in the revised code of Washington to hire an attorney.
Where? What's the citation?
And we voted on it as a majority vote here about two meetings ago to hire a firm of Van Glenn Associates and the firm of Kohler Law to be the council's attorney.
By what authority? Give me the RCW authority. Just telling me that it's in the RCW isn't good enough.
You know, we have a motion and a second on the floor to accept the revised agenda. Is there any further discussion on the agenda? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, it's now time for public comments. Persons wishing to... Excuse me, I'm following the agenda. Persons wishing to address council may come forward, give their name and the city of residence, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody, Leslie?
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And it is, according to either agenda, public comment time at this point. I want to thank you for adding the April 21st, 2016 minutes to the agenda last meeting. It gave me an opportunity to listen to the audio. Yes, I listened to the audio 3 times. All I can say is wow. To spend almost an hour substituting the agenda for the meeting and to deny citizens extra time to comment during public comments. Ridiculous. I have been amazed at how divisive the majority council has been from the start of last year. I would hope that the council could set aside their differences and work for the good of the city. But if this meeting start is any indication, I have very little doubt that that will actually happen. Please don't let this election cycle stall and spiral the city even further than it has gone. I hope to see the council out in force at Miners' Day and Labor's Day to show support for this city, this small town atmosphere. If you see people from the opposing sides, don't walk away. Don't ignore them. Don't attack them. Greet them with a smile and a hello. Try to open your ears and your hearts to be more welcoming. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Jana?
Jana Thompson, Black Diamond. I'm just very disappointed to see the council meeting starting in yet again the same fashion every single council meeting. And there's no reason for it, Councilmember Pepper. There's no reason. If you could
point of order. Point of order. When the public speaks to the council, they speak to the whole council and not to a certain individual.
Councilmember Morgan, she is entitled to have her say.
It's tiring to hear the same thing every single council member at council meeting. So I don't understand why there can't be some compromise about how this operates and how the citizens can get the agenda, the agenda that's going to be used before the meeting. That's all we're asking for. So, Councilmember Morgan and Councilmember Pepper, I don't understand why you don't understand that. So, let me pivot and tell you about something really positive. So, there's this great new map. I hope you all have seen it. I brought some copies. I'll leave them over here on the counter. It's a great new, a fun look at Black Diamond, and it's been put out by the Chamber, the Maple Valley Black Diamond Chamber. I had the honor of working with, talking to the citizens, the businesses in town, to invite them to be on the back and promote their businesses, and it was really fun. I went and talked to about 80 different businesses in Black Diamond and invited them to be on the map. And I just want to tell you that the number one question I got from the businesses when I was out working on this fall was they wanted to know when the houses were coming, because a lot of them, the businesses, told me that they're just barely hanging on and they need new customers and they're really looking forward to the houses being built and new customers coming their way. So I just thought I'd share that little story, and I'll put these over here.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Gary?
Okay. Gary Davis, Lawson Hill area, Black Diamond. It's quite clear in state law, it happens to be RCW 35A11. 0.010. That is the legislative body of a municipality, especially one this size. That is the contracting authority. Neither the mayor nor, if we had one, a city administrator has the veto power over contracts. If they don't like it, they got to work it out with the council. They can't just arbitrarily veto them. And part of the colossal pain in dealing with that section is sometimes it's vague and you get every person with a different opinion in the legal profession. But this time I think Mr. Linehan is wrong and that you should be acceding to the wishes of the council majority. I know you don't like it. You're trying to help your obey. But it's sad.
Where's your evidence of that?
Yeah.
By her actions.
Oh, you guys are so full of it.
Pam.
Pam McCain, City of Black Diamond, Chairman of the Planning Commission. I just want to make sure that the public knows that, again, our Planning Commission meetings have been canceled for the month of June. And the majority council has done a great job with stalling contracts, not paying contractors, and putting off the comp plan for the benefit of the entire City of Black Diamond. I'm sure there's many more ramifications for not having an approved comp plan. And I know one of the things is we stand out as a city who cannot get their act together. That very much is not a reputation that I want associated with where I live. But I know we will come to a place where we will not be respected, we will not be listened to, and I'm sure we will not be offered the normal grants and benefits that every other city in this state has because we can't seem to get our act together. So just be sure that the public knows that we're operating under a 2006 comp plan, and that's because of the majority council. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I'm from Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I thank you for the opportunity to address you tonight. The discussion about the mayor's authority and the council's authority is certainly a serious one that warrants attention and time and is clearly when basic tenets of the law and the council's authority are ignored by the mayor, it certainly can create obstruction and delays. And it's very clear that those delays are coming from the mayor refusing to accept certain basic legal concepts. And what I wanted to do tonight was read from an attorney's brief on this subject. This was a brief that the City of Black Diamond received regarding contracts and the mayor's contract authority from the arbitration proceeding that the developer Yarrow Bay or Oak Point decided to try to initiate. The brief includes the following. The mayor's theory of executive authority fails to take into account that RCW 35A.11.020 confers broad sweeping power on the council, including all powers possible for a city or town to have under the constitution of this state and not specifically denied to code cities by law. Significantly, the Black Diamond Municipal Code gives the mayor no authority to hire or contract for arbitrators or to resolve disputes about the authority of officials such as the mayor and city council members. Black Diamond Municipal Code 2.08.040 exclusively confers on the council the exclusive and mandatory duty to determine disputes relating to questions of powers and duties. The arbitration contract the mayor's attorney signed is illegal. The city council did not approve the arbitration. Further, attorney Linehan signed the contract with Judge Scott in Oak Point and called himself the city attorney, but the city council has never appointed him as city attorney nor approved his contract. Neither the city code nor RCW 35A.12.100 delegates authority to the mayor to appoint an attorney. Although the developer Yarrow Bay or Oak Point and the mayor claim that they are having a dispute, they actually agree. The mayor's mediation memorandum discloses that she embraces an expansive theory of executive power. Under the mayor's theory, well, I'm going to skip a little so I don't run out of time. The mayor's theory
You're
is inconsistent with the funding agreement and municipal law.
You are out of
RCW,
time.
I heard a question about RCW 35A.11.020 and trust councils to contract. Contracts to councils. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Brock?
Brock PD, Black Diamond. So here's what I see. Even though you guys have control of the council, the three of you, Erica, Brian, and Pat, we don't have any say, the people. Even in items that don't have any bearing as far as which way the city goes, we come up here and we suggest ways to make things move faster or easier. Somebody mentioned different ways to get the agenda on the agenda out earlier so that the public can see it. I've suggested numerous times that it's the committees. You question, oh, we can't have our, nobody shows up at the committee meetings because we can't tell anybody where they're at because the mayor doesn't let us. What I'm trying to say is that we've come up here with a lot of suggestions for you guys to make things work better so that we can be a part of it. And it falls on deaf ears. And even you put everything aside, if we could see some improvement in just the way the workings of the council meetings, we would be a little bit more positive. But anything we say, it just falls on deaf ears. It's like you guys don't listen to us, and you don't take anything we say to heart. You don't look at us when we talk to you, and you don't say any. You don't help us understand what you're doing. You don't do anything that we suggest. We're the people that voted you in. I didn't vote you in specifically, but you were voted in by the public. And we come up here over and over and over and suggest things to improve the way things happen, and you don't do it. So it's very frustrating from my point of view anyway, from the public, that I come up here and try to get us over these miserable meetings, and you don't do anything about it. And it isn't us and them, it's you three. We suggest, and you just don't listen. And it appears that the only people you listen to are Kristen and Mr. Dardowski. And the reason I say that is because all the things you bring up, all the things you say, aren't what we want. It is very frustrating.
Your time is up.
Thank you. It's frustrating.
Please. Yes.
My name is Philip Acosta. I live in Black Diamond, Washington. My concern here today is a situation on the 288th and the intersection of 169 and the traffic issues that are very, very dangerous there right now. There's, because of the detour, it's added to the length of waiting time, a lot of frustrations down there. I don't know if any of you drive that particular route many years ago when they put some of the developments in on 288 that the developer wasn't required to put in a light, or somehow it was overlooked, and it's created the population out in our area has grown significantly and continues to grow significantly. And I'm hoping that the council in some of your meetings with your engineers and whatnot are working on a solution there. And thank you very much for listening.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Aaron?
Aaron Stout, Black Diamond. I'm just confused about two things. The agenda is an issue every single council meeting, and I don't understand the us and them mentality. It really just seems like it would be quite simple to have the majority council members put their issues forward and ask for the agenda to be arranged the way they want it to instead of introducing it at the last minute. That's very confusing to me. And the other thing that I'm confused about is the majority council seems to think that they have hired new city attorneys. But as far as I understand, when there was a request made for city attorneys to apply for the job as city attorney, there were only the current city attorney applied. And as I understand it, maybe I'm wrong, no one else applied. So it seems like if you wanted your people to be the city attorney, they should have applied for the job at that time. As I understand it, no one did. So it's awfully confusing to have potential attorneys just show up at the meeting and say, the majority voted for me to be the attorney, but they never actually applied for the job, and that seems very confusing to me. It seems like if they wanted the job and applied for the job and went through that process, then they could very well be the city attorney, as other people have been. So I'm just very confused about that process, and I would love to be able to have someone explain it to me at some point. And that's my comment for the evening.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. I believe that the next thing on the agenda is our public hearing that was continued from the last meeting. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. A little recap from last Thursday. At first, there appeared to be some impasse on the various projects. I volunteered to talk about or give my recommendations on each one, and there seemed to
be... This was at the work study.
At the work study, yes. There seemed to be nodding of the heads, and so I asked if we should I prepare those edits, and I think it was Brian Weber said, yes, please do. So we did. So I'm a little surprised to see that we have dueling Transportation Improvement Board. I mean, that was kind of the purpose of why we came here together on a work study last week. But in any event, at this point, I have no further presentation at this time. And as I understand, the hearing is still open, and I'm ready to take notes on any comments that the public might have.
Do we have any public that would like to make comments on the Transportation Improvement Plan? Councilmember Morgan.
This is a public hearing, not
I understand this is a public hearing.
We've got public out here.
Oh, we have a public. Leslie?
Yeah.
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And I'll have to agree with Seth that I'm kind of confused as far as which document is being discussed. Is it the redline version? Is it the document that it looks like Seth has renumbered? So that it includes all 31 projects. It's kind of confusing to me. As I mentioned last public hearing, I do think that the staff did a good job of pulling together the variety of projects and sequencing the projects and working with things like the small jobs, pothole repair, that hopefully we can take some action on soon to get some potholes replaced that don't fit or that fall under the first part of this. And I'm also confused about the budget amendment note in the alternate version. Wouldn't that come after the funds have actually been expensed, so you know the amount of a budget amendment? Yes, the grant is for $50,000, but are we really going to get exactly $50,000 of money coming in, or would it be some dollar amount that would be less so you'd have to do another budget amendment? I'm kind of really confused by both documents now.
I mean, we don't know if we're going to spend the whole $50,000, correct?
$50,000 is the most that we can obtain from the grant.
So you wouldn't want to do a budget amendment now for $50,000. You'd want to do a budget amendment after you've spent the money on the repairs, so you know the amount of the budget money coming in, right?
Well, I'm not the finance director, but every city that I know and every city that I've worked at before typically does one budget amendment at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's for administrative burden. It's an right. Administratively burdensome to be amending the budget all the time. Not saying that we track it, and May keeps track of it, but that's accounting. And anything that is not budgeted, we include, as language here shows, that there is two actions related to unbudgeted funds. One is if you're going to be spending those, accepting the grant, and then if you're going to award a grant spending that money, that there's an not only an award, but also an appropriation of funds so that the council all agrees, yes, with this, we want to spend this money. But it doesn't have to be, as long as it is reconciled at the end of the year, there's no need to do it over and over and over for every unforeseen thing that pops up.
Mayor.
Well, she's gotten the time. So.
Well, yeah, so it has to do with question.
Okay.
What we were just talking
okay.
about.
Yeah.
So the public hearing, if I'm understanding correct, we are doing the public hearing on the TIP.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I thought.
Okay. This is the item that we're discussing is under unfinished business, and it's my
listed.
Understanding that we, during public hearing, that we discuss the topic of the public hearing, correct?
But it's listed attached to the TIF, so that's where I'm confused.
I don't know.
It's a project that's part of the transportation improvement plan. That's
okay.
Is there anybody else wishing to address this public hearing? So,
Mayor Benson.
Councilmember Morgan.
I just wanted to say I was wondering if we wanted to include the gentleman's comment about the intersection with 169 and 288th as comment on the TIP, on the transportation TIP.
Mr. Botcher.
That particular intersection is outside of the city of Black Diamond. So we would not put it in our TIP. Maybe the county would, but it wouldn't be right to put it in our transportation improvement program.
Mr. Williamson?
Andy Williamson, Community Development. Councilmember Pepper and... in particular, we had discussed before that when the development was happening at the top of 288th on top of the hill that there would be an opportunity. I sent an email to you guys about SEPA comments. If you really want to do some active and have some comments about that intersection, you need to participate in the City of Maple Valley's SEPA determination on that and make your comments known to the City of Maple Valley. It's posted on the site. I sent all of you. That notice, so I really encourage you as council members in that area, who live in that area, and actually understand that intersection, to get your comments on that, and because that is a King County intersection. So we're required under the development agreement, master developer, it's been too long of a night tonight to tell you what unit counts. So there'll be work done there, and that is part of the City of Maple Valley's mitigation with the developer. But you should get your comments down on the City of Maple Valley onto those SEPA comments for that. Because I remember we talked about that, but I just wanted to remind you, because it's really relevant to what we're talking about right now.
Well, I'm not really sure Pat Pepper gave us the amended tip that was different than the one that was submitted by the Public Works Department. And so I don't know if you have any discussion, Pat, on what you planned on doing tonight.
Yeah, I thought we were really close with the things that we discussed at the work study. And the only thing that I would do is I would move that the six-year tip beginning with the 2018 be amended so that the Project Rock Creek Bridge replacement have possible developer funds added as a funding source.
You can't do that.
And that the six-year tip be removed from committee and approved as amended. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mayor.
To speak to the motion, I get to speak. Oh, we have to close it.
Mayor, I think there needs to be some clarification. If this is a public hearing, the public needs to know which tip that we're actually hearing.
Yeah, and I need to. We would like to know that, too.
Exactly.
Or I don't know. Councilmember Pepper, which document is the public going off of?
Mayor, may I make a comment?
Okay, Councilmember Edelman.
Okay, first of all, we had a work study. I thought we had an agreement. But then when I look at your red line copy again, this is a transportation improvement plan. But we're talking about pedestrian bypasses, sidewalk designs. Seems to me you've got some fish habitat in here. What part of transportation is fish habitat? You guys were told last week that should be part of the capital improvement plan. How many times do we have to reiterate over and over and over? That needs to be pulled back out. We need to go with what was agreed to at the work study, which is the one that the Public Works has provided tonight.
Councilmember Pepper.
I think we need to close the public hearing.
Why?
Well, I don't think we can close the public hearing until we identify which tip we are using. Number one, the developer has not agreed to help replace the Rock Creek Bridge. If they have not agreed to it, you cannot add them into this document. You can't just voluntarily say, oh, we want the developer to give some funds for this project. That is not possible. That is not possible. Councilmember Weber.
Okay, so when I started looking at the packet for this week, I don't know why this old version is in here from last week's.
Pat Pepper sent it in. It says revised on the 8th.
Are we talking about Exhibit A?
There's two exhibits. There's two Exhibit A's. We need to know which one the council wants the public to consider and provide comment and testimony on.
The last exhibit, just for point clarification, the last exhibit is the one that Pat sent in to me and asked to be included in the June 15th packet material.
So the first one is the one that was done by the Public Works Department.
Yes.
Kristen Bryant,
yes.
Are you wanting to testify on this?
I wanted to comment on the public hearing.
Okay.
Well, we still need to have clarity. Is the public hearing on the first one or the second one?
Well, I wanted to actually comment on both, if I could.
Pardon me, what?
My comment.
No, we're having a public hearing on one particular item. We just need to know which one the council wants to take testimony on.
Well,
if the council wants to take testimony on both.
Kristen,
on both,
just calm down.
If the council wants to have testimony on both, it needs to vote down one and then have hearing on the other one. We don't have dueling tips. We need to pick one and take testimony on it. And if the council doesn't like it after the testimony, then they can vote. They can bring forth a different one.
I move that we use Exhibit A that was proposed by the Public Works Department.
Can you have a motion in the middle of public
me.
Comment?
Yes, I am, because we have to decide which
we
one of these we're going to use.
We have to decide before you can comment. Could you sit down,
you're not
going to
comment
Kristen,
on both
down.
Of them.
Well, I am actually going to comment
well,
on both of them.
Well, you can do that if you want to, but I am making a motion that we adopt the Exhibit A that was... was agreed upon in our work study and that the Public Works Department has provided in the packet.
Correct.
For clarity, that's the one that ends with item number 31 or with rank number 31.
Yeah.
All right. I would like to make a comment, but it seems like I'm looking at the one that has like 31 items. And the only change, the only amendment to that is to have possible developer funds added as a funding source. And do I have a second on that?
Wait a minute, we already have a motion on that. We have a motion, so let me ask.
Attorney Glenn, can you provide some clarity?
He is not our attorney.
Councilmember Pepper, you're the one that submitted the one that has the developer on it. You submitted that one, and if that's the only change there is, you could withdraw that developer portion of mitigation because you can't decide if the developer. Only the developer can decide, and they are not. It's not in their MPDs or in their development agreement. You cannot decide for the developer that you want them to help pay for a replacement bridge. You can't decide that.
Possible developer funds.
Possible developer funds. Okay. Is that the only change?
Yes. And I would like to...
Councilmember Weber?
Okay. Figure out where the hell we're at now. To speak to Janie's motion, Councilmember Edelman's motion, I have issue with the word adopt. To me, that sounds like we're adopting the tip. So I would ask possibly for a revision of the amendment. And secondly, Councilmember, everything we keep hearing about this tip is that it's kind of like a loose blueprint, kind of what we'd like to do, like what projects we'd like to see, kind of a moving forward type plan. It's nothing set in stone. And so I'm looking at, for the public, I'm looking at Exhibit A, the first tip that was amended from our work study last week. And number 14 calls out developer funded and possible grant. So I'm scratching my head why there's such a hang up to add the word possible, because all I've heard for months and months is how this document isn't necessarily binding and, you know.
Mayor.
So.
Mr. Botcher.
I think I can answer that. The development agreement doesn't force and require the city to come up with grant funds. It requires that we apply for funds, but if we're unsuccessful in getting grants, the city has not abrogated the agreement. But we do need to practice our due diligence, and if there's an obvious grant that would fit the project, we should be applying for it.
Okay, so...
But it we don't know if we're going to get it or not.
Okay, so I understand that. That's fine. Then, to me, it seems like there's a lack of consistency under funding then, because we have some that are developer-funded and possible grant. We have developer-funded and grant.
I would accept that edit. I would accept that edit to add the word possible.
I mean, just...
I would accept that edit, yeah.
So, Mayor Benson.
Councilmember Deedy.
So, when I was looking through this, so grants are... to me is we may get them. But the one where you're talking about with developer funded and possible grant, my understanding for
the contract is that if the city is deficient in an area, already deficient, and the developer is going to come in and work that area, then the city would go out and see if they could possibly get a grant to help with that area. And if the and that would be a good faith, go out in good faith and look for a grant. And if there's a grant out there, the city would apply for it and maybe get it and maybe not. But that in the contract, it would they would see that the city went out in good faith to get the grant. And we didn't get it or we did get it. And maybe just like it just happened, we got the grant, but the council majority voted it down. So that was how I see the good faith in that part right there with the developer-funded impossible grant.
So let's try to clarify. Janie has a motion, and we need to clarify which one it is. But if you changed developer mitigation on that one item to possible developer mitigation, it would be acceptable to use the one that you submitted if you change that to possible.
Can I have a
Councilmember, wait a minute. Councilmember Edelman had her hand up.
Well, I also want to say that when you go through this and it says developer funded, that's because it is a negotiated contract with a developer. And so that cannot be changed one way or the other because it is a negotiated contract. We can't just indiscriminately add, unless you want to say potential, because maybe at some time you would.
Yeah, if you say possible, then who cares?
So it's if you are agreeable, if you are agreeable to adding potential where we need to, possible, then we would go with the staff generated TIP.
No, we would go with her amendment.
You want to go with her amendment? Yeah. You want me to pull my motion? I would,
Councilmember Pepper.
Yeah, because the documents that are in here were the documents that I came into the work study with. Okay, and we discussed the feasibility of those items. And many of those items have been embedded in the document that we have tonight.
Okay.
And the only amendment that I would like to put in there is possible developer funds.
Okay.
Added under the Rock Creek Bridge replacement, which is like for 2022. And the other part that I would like to do is say that the TIP be removed from committee and approved as amended. And if we agree to that, I would like to speak to that motion.
Okay. Right, tell you what, I am going to, Mayor, I'm going to withdraw my motion.
Okay.
I'm done.
So let's, Mr. Linehan.
Just wanted to follow up on Councilmember Weber's comment and question about the nature of the TIP. And you're absolutely right. It is a planning document. It is not binding. It is not a promise. It is not a commitment of funds. It's a planning document, and under the Growth Management Act, the idea, though, is so that cities don't put out pie-in-the-sky projections for what they're going to build. It's a planning document that the statute requires a statement, an analysis of funding capability to judge needs against probable funding resources. So the idea is that your TIP should list both the projects that you want and a probable funding source. So I'm just going to say that. You need a probable funding source. If you think that your amended language meets the test for a probable funding source, go for it.
Wow. Probably doesn't meet the test for a probable funding source.
No.
Councilmember Pepper.
So I would like to move that the six-year TIP, beginning with 2018, be amended so that the project Rock Creek Bridge replacement have possible developer funds added as a funding source, and that the six-year TIP be removed from committee and approved as amended. Do I have a second?
Okay, we can't do that. We still have somebody that wants to testify. So
okay.
If we're going to have the TIP that we're talking about says possible developer funding in it. That's the only thing that's different than the
and it's 25. It's the
item
listed
25.
Item 25.
Okay, so now we have we've identified, does everybody agree with that? That that's the one we're going to use, Councilmember Morgan?
And just, I'm just being extra clear, and this is the one that appears first that
yes.
Seth fixed after our work study. So I wrote Seth on there at the top so I would know.
Staff's
version. On the editing paragraph that's in the center at the bottom of the page, it starts edited June 8, 2017, following work study.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Clear.
Okay, so so are we in agreement that that's the one we're using?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kristen, you may now come up and make your comments.
Thank you. My name is Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, Washington. And I am very interested in this tip because my parents are supposedly they walk around town every day, a two-mile loop. They certainly drive through town and have traffic concerns. I say supposedly because I'm not sure they've been getting all of their exercise lately, but hopefully this summer we'll see them doing their two-mile loop every day when the weather is nice. And certainly the pedestrian projects on 169 will be important and need to be, in my opinion, a priority for the city as they consider transportation. My comments are on both versions of the packet materials because when I reviewed the information online on the tip, I saw that there was a version from the work study and an amended version, and that made sense to me. I have heard a lot of concern that if changes are going to be proposed, people would prefer that they get to see them in the packet prior to the meeting. And that is what I saw, and I think that was available to people on the website. It seems that there wouldn't be any prohibition against having two versions. Certainly that can't be necessarily decided. You know, if somebody is going to send forth an amendment, you got to wait till the meeting to decide that. And as I think that the comments that, you know, we as the public could only comment on one version or the other are very confusing, and it doesn't make a lot of sense because seeing something in one or the other that's different is a logical place to comment. And the other thing is, you know, I just want to say I don't think that we should be limited, and I'm glad to see the proposals brought forward. Even if there's two versions, that kind of feels like what the packet and what the meeting are for. I don't think that needed to be settled in order to be able to properly make a comment. This public hearing has been confusing. I've been to a number of public hearings over the years here and other places, and I do want to comment that normally the comments are made by the public without, and then the discussion by council occurs after. This sort of back and forth feels inefficient and kind of time consuming, and I certainly think that it should be a little bit cleaner and it's sort of leading to some general confusion and there is a process and a respect for the decorum for a reason that I hope the public comment should just be held separately from the discussion. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to testify? Five. What?
I'm just
25 is the Rock Creek Bridge. So is there anybody else wanting to testify for the public hearing? I will close this public hearing. We have agreed that the TIP is going to be
the
TIP with a revision to the Rock Creek Bridge that possible developer mitigation.
Funds.
Okay, funds.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so you can make your motion now. That would make sense.
Okay. I move that the six-year TIP beginning 2018 be amended so that the project Rock Creek Bridge replacement have possible developer funds added as a funding source, and that the six-year TIP be removed from committee and approved as amended. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Councilmember
Deedy?
I'm sorry. I'm so confused over here. So, Pat Pepper, you said that we were voting on your...
No, that's not true. We're voting on the one that
the city
staff did, just adding possible developer funds. That's all we're doing.
Okay, but during that conversation, Pat said, no, we're voting on hers. So I was just a little confused on 25 and 22. We're different on this version. So we are going with what the staff originated, just adding the possible developer-funded in that box, correct?
Yep. Yes.
I would like to say that the amended, edited June 8th one does include some of the things that we talked about at the work study that council members brought up. So, I'd like to see more pedestrian ideas coming
and
forth.
Those were all,
And I like to see, I forget what you called it. The path from the Morgan Creek path, there was a certain term that you used to say that. Limited by, it takes up time right now, but I noticed that was in there as well. And so,
Well, you made a motion that's been seconded.
Yeah.
So is there any further discussion? All those
frontage improvements is the word that we
had. Yeah, I saw that. And I went through and compared them, and they're great. They're greatly the same with additions that some council members suggested. And so that was the motion. I would like to...
call the question. We need to vote on this.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Wow.
So the next item on the agenda is the resolution authorizing the fuel tax agreement with the Transportation Improvement Board for emergency pothole repair. Mr. Botcher?
Make those amendments and to remove it from tonight to take action. So to remove it from committee to take action on it.
Tonight.
So then we need to take action on that motion.
I think the motion was to actually approve it. To remove it from committee and approve it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I missed that part. Sorry. Yeah. You were talking
about that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're doing three things in one motion.
Yes. Compound motion. So, Mr. Botcher.
This action is to accept a grant and authorize the mayor to sign the contract with the Transportation Improvement Board. This is a new program that this is the first year where we have a funding program for potholes and failing asphalt surfacing. So how this will help us, it will help us keep roads from deteriorating and bring them back up into a fundable range for their overlay program. If a street deteriorates too much, it falls out of funding for their overlay. So this is the first time that we've been able to this will help us bring some of these streets back up to a rating level where they're back in funding for future overlays. I want to give it preface a little bit about this type of action, because I've seen other grants and things just die on the vine. And I see this as a normal city business that should be fairly rote, a motion and approval. This is not a major policy. You've already really adopted your policies related to streets. One of those is your, we have streets, we have state requirements that we have to take care of them and provide reasonably safe passage for the public. If we let potholes go and we know about it, that we can get claims. So there's liability out there. In the street fund, and this is your policy document that you approved, it says that the street department's responsibility include maintaining, planning, upgrading public streets and sidewalks. Major maintenance activities include maintaining the street signs, pavement stripes and markings, roadside brush, trees and vegetation control, street lights, pavement, signals, sidewalks, and shoulder grading. Other activities include managing the right-of-way, street capital planning, and seeking grant funds and addressing traffic safety issues. Now I'm going to read a few pieces out of another policy document, the Black Diamond Municipal Code. I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. Chapter 120610, the purpose of this chapter is to establish a transportation benefit district pursuant to RCW, consistent with the public interest to provide adequate levels of funding for the preservation, maintenance, and operation of the street transportation system of the city of Black Diamond. And a few more. The funds generated by the transportation benefit district may be used for transportation improvements that preserve, maintain, operate, construct, and reconstruct the existing transportation infrastructure. And further down, the district shall select to the extent practicable projects for funding that reduce the risk of transportation facility failure. This would certainly align with that. Improve safety, decrease travel time, increase daily and peak period trip capacity, improve modal connectivity, provide for economic development, improve accessibility for persons with special transportation needs, and preserve and maintain optimal performance of the infrastructure over time to avoid expensive infrastructure construction and replacement in the future. And that really is a big one, because if you leave these things to deteriorate, it gets very difficult to continue with responding to filling potholes as the road unravels. There's other references. My point here is the big policy issues, we budget funds. The directive is to, yes, we have a street department. You want us to do this type of thing. So this ought to be just standard business. This isn't a major policy issue like, say, the sensitive areas ordinance, which you debated here for 6 to 9 months, and maybe it was longer. But there's other policy issues that went through very lengthy debate. This is not. This is implementation of policies you've already adopted.
Is there any discussion? So this really, this particular document hasn't been amended. You're suggesting amending it, but there is no amendment here that goes with the document. And I would suggest that you think about it as a future thing, that once we get it done, and if you decide that you want to change policy, but right now our policy is to do one, a budget amendment at the end of the year. which most cities do. It's a common practice so that you can keep track of your beginning budget and your ending budget. If you change the budget in the middle of the budget season, that becomes your new budget. And then what happened to the first 6 months of the budget? You can't compare that 6 months to the end of the year like May does now, because you've had budget amendments during the course of it. So I would suggest that maybe you would like to rethink the idea of doing a budget amendment with this item. Councilmember Pepper.
Is there a way to show a marker that this will be a budget amendment?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we have a document, and in fact, usually made during the year says these are the changes that we've made to the budget that will be included in the budget amendment. She could do that quarterly for you.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
I don't know that we've had one this year so far, but sometimes you have two or three.
Because that way we know that these are things that that are coming up, rather than at the end of the year seeing them kind of all at once. That way we would see them all at once, but we would have had a heads up as the year went on.
Sure. Councilmember Morgan.
So I can move this or I can speak to it. Do you want me to speak to it?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Section 3 reads, the staff is requested to draft and provide to the City Council a supplemental budget ordinance authorizing this expenditure. No expenditure over the current budget amount related to this grant shall be made without a change to the city's budget to authorize the expenditure. And my note here is this section has been added to respect the state law requiring municipal expenditures to be a part of an approved budget. So on that, I move to bring this out of committee and to adopt Agenda Bill 17-041, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a grant agreement for the 2017 Emergency Pothole Repair and Road Maintenance Project, TIB number 2-P-800, (006), (-1), as amended 6-9 to include this section 3.
Do we have a copy of that section 3?
I think it's
at the very back
of the packet.
I've got dueling resolutions.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one, two, three.
I think the motion was made to approve the second one, the last one in the packet, which includes section 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Deedy.
All right. Are you three asking that the city staff provide an ordinance for us to vote on? Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm. Can I interrupt too? Because you don't do a budget amendment with an ordinance. You do it with a resolution. No. And so
a supplemental budget is an ordinance.
So is that correct?
Well, but it doesn't say when it's going to be done.
No. So you're asking the city staff to do an ordinance, right, and then present it to the council, and we vote on an ordinance, or we don't pass an ordinance.
Or it doesn't say when.
It doesn't say when.
I'm just trying to understand that before I vote on something I don't understand.
Councilmember Pepper.
Is it possible to like you said, a marker? We could do a marker like quarterly, and quarterly would be like July?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be easier not to have this language in here. But
is there
really
a way
matter.
To amend the motion that Councilmember Morgan made to say that the marker would show on the July that there's going to be an amendment?
Well, we could show that there's pending amendments. Pending amendments to the budget.
You don't need to amend the motion for that. The staff would just do that for you, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in there.
Just request the mayor and May Miller provide it.
Councilmember Morgan, what do you think about that?
The reason this is put in here as a budget amendment is because the state law requires
that municipal expenditures
be approved in the budget.
I don't think that's the question that she was asking. She was asking whether they needed to add another amendment. If she had to amend your motion to say that I had to do quarterly reports on that, or she would just accept my word that I will do quarterly reports.
And it's here in public, her word.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a marker, like we were talking about quarterly, showing the markers that or the pending amendments.
Pending amendments
to the yearly budget.
Yes.
And is there a way that we could amend what Councilmember Morgan is saying to say that in July that pending amendment would show on the quarterly report? Or,
well, I'm not going to say July because we never know when we get our quarterly reports done.
Oh, okay. Well,
you could just assume that will happen. It doesn't have to be part of that. That makes it way too complicated. It doesn't have to be part of the motion she already made. Councilmember Morgan.
Just as an aside, and when I read the Black Diamond Municipal Code, the Black Diamond Municipal Code says that once a month that the directors of the department will report on where they are on their budget, how much money they've spent, and how much money they're expecting to have come in, and make a monthly financial report for their individual departments. We haven't been doing that, and it's because we haven't been doing that, the council hasn't got a really clear idea of what's going on with the finances. And that's one of the major things that the council does. And this is what the problem is here.
You're
and
off
our quarterly
topic.
Report.
So you have made a motion. Was this motion seconded?
Not yet. No.
Councilmember Pepper.
Can we take Section 3 and address it at another time?
No. Yeah, there's no date applied to it. Oh, you want to take it out?
I don't know if Councilmember Morgan would agree to that, but I think it would be...
Go back to the original resolution.
It doesn't matter one way or the other. It's your... You decide.
I think it needs to stay the way it is. So will my finance chair maybe second me?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Move it along.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Mayor.
Councilmember Weber.
Just add a little levity when that quarterly report comes out that we were just talking about. Hopefully one of the columns in there will be called... labeled amendment. Pending amendment.
Oh, amendment.
I heard that.
Okay.
Up here. I heard it. Oh. Somebody up here. So.
So, may I need to ask? We passed this with Section 3 in it.
Yes.
Okay.
So the next item on the agenda is the minutes for the council meeting of April 21st. Councilmember Morgan.
So I move to adopt the minutes of April 21st meeting as amended by Councilmember Pepper and submitted 5/31/2017. For reference, they appear as a red line version in our packet. Can I have a second?
Second.
Councilmember Edelman.
If I'm not mistaken, and I'm trying to find it here, the whole question here has to do with a censure of Councilmember Morgan. And when you have a conflict of interest, you are not supposed to vote. So I want to go on record here because you guys will pass it because you have the majority, but Councilmember Morgan was censured. Your vote didn't count. So I just want to go on record for saying that.
Councilmember Deedy.
So, and just, I did listen to the audio and read this and totally feel your pain. Go back and do that again. Oh, my Lord.
You're a glutton for punishment.
This was awful. So I agree with what Councilmember Edelman just stated. If you want to do a a revision or you want to say something you didn't agree with, then you do it at tonight's council meeting and not change what was in the documents and what was said at the council meeting. You do it tonight.
Is there a possible way that we can just do certified minutes for that meeting? Hire somebody to actually certify what the meeting minutes were instead of accepting Pepper's version of the meetings?
Yes.
Councilmember Morgan.
What I have to say about that is there's nothing in state law that prevents a council member from voting. And fundamentally, you can't take away a council member's right to vote as they have been elected by their constituents to that right.
Janie's already spoken to this.
Councilmember Pepper.
Yeah, I would like to repeat something that I said at the last meeting, which is voting on questions affecting oneself. The rule on abstaining from voting on a question of direct personal interest does not mean that a member should not vote for himself for an office or other position to which, this is Robert's rules, to which members generally are eligible, or should not vote when other members are included with him in a motion. If a member never voted on a question affecting himself, it would be impossible for a society to vote to hold a banquet or for the majority to prevent a small minority from preferring charges against them and suspending or expelling them.
Have you read your council rules?
Go ahead, Jean.
Oh, sorry.
It's in our council rules, your version and our version of the council rules, that when there is a conflict of interest, that member does not vote. They abstain from voting. And the council rules take precedence, as I have said multiple times in the past. Council rules take precedence over Robert's rules. The ordinances, our municipal code, takes priority over our council rules. The revised code of Washington has priority over all of it. So you can go ahead and cite Robert's rules, but they're superseded by the council rules. And the council rules are the same in both versions. So well, I stand by my comment.
I think that since I put these minutes on the agenda, that I will remove them from the agenda and hire somebody to certify the minutes so that we don't have this controversy.
But what's the end result? We're going to go spend a whole lot of money to get a certified copy. They're still going to dispute what the vote is. Because all they're going to do is listen, and they're going to hear Erica vote, and they'll record it as a yes or a no vote. That doesn't change the reality of her conflict of interest.
Councilmember Pepper.
I think if we take something off the agenda, we have to vote on it. And is there a motion on the floor with a second, I think?
For what?
There's a motion and a second to accept the minutes. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Did you vote no?
Tammy voted no.
Is that that's for
4-1?
Yeah, for the rule for their.
Yeah.
Yeah, I voted no.
It's all right. And also for the record, these can be amended again in some future date next year.
Okay, so we have an item number 11 is a ward contract for citywide emergency pothole repair. Mr. Botcher.
Okay, this action is the implementing action, having received the grant. There's a short time frame of to get the bids in, get notice to proceed, get the bonds in place, and get the project scheduled and get it completed before the weather closes in. Right now, contractors, many of them are booked up already. So time is important. This is a first reading. The bids will open tomorrow. I want you to note that the contract forms, the bid forms, the mapping that was GPS located with our city equipment, that that this is all staff work to produce this. If we were to hire a consultant, it would be maybe $15,000 to $20,000 to get this work done, or to get the plans and bid documents prepared and out to bid. So I just want to, in the past, it was Council Member Craig Goodwin that wanted to know when we were doing things in-house. So I wanted to bring that up. So this will be coming back to you on July 6th for hopefully an award, and we can get to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Council Member Dee.
I just like to remind Council, as you drive around every city, they're all doing work. Every city I've been into is doing either sidewalk repairs, adding ADA repairs to their sidewalks, or road maintenance right now. So we really need to get on the ball on this. Otherwise, we're going to lose out on contracts with businesses because they're going to get too busy and not be able to squeeze our little city in. So the sooner you guys can get this out of your committee and not drag it on after onto July 6th would be great. So just to keep that in mind, you know, let's move this. It would be great if you guys just suspended the rules tonight and went through it, or, you know, had a discussion about it tonight and talked to Seth about it instead of just saying it's moving into committee onto the next thing.
Councilmember Deedy?
Edelman.
Edelman.
I just would like to know, because on the revised agenda it says Councilor Morgan introduced and assigned to committee per Council Rule 9.1. What committee?
DevOps.
And when are they meeting?
They don't know that.
Well, let's see.
This is important. We need to know when you're meeting and where you're meeting.
I'm gonna set the time, and the time is gonna be 2 p.m. Not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday.
So the 24th at the 2
library.
P.m.
Black Diamond.
At the Black Diamond Library.
Dumbass
question. Okay, thank you.
Okay, then Councilmember Pepper added an update on the RFQ from the MDIRT contracts. Councilmember Pepper?
The resolution passed by the council on March the 2nd required the city to go out for RFQ for our traffic and civil engineering consultants. It brought forth additional ways to get more applications, including asking cities about sharing resources and advertising. The RFQ last fall wasn't posted on the website and was posted over Thanksgiving. I believe that we can certainly get more applicants, and it's important to do so. We need to have the best possible reviewers for our city. Fresh eyes and a fresh perspective can bring opportunities for improvement. We shouldn't be locking in public contracts for the same firms over and over. We should give others the opportunity. This is about the citizens first and not the wishes of the developer. We can maintain continuity and meet our development obligations while still having choices. Council and the people have the right the choices before approving long-term contracts. Has the mayor begun pulling together the RFQ per resolution 171157 and 171159?
Well, let me tell you where we are on that. Because of these contracts, we had mediation. Because of mediation, the judge decided that because none of the majority council members showed up for mediation, that we would go to arbitration. Arbitration has been halted now because the judge made a request of Oak Point's attorney to come up with a different set of qualifications, and the judge is out of town for the entire month of June, and he will not be back till July, and so we're at a standstill for this until we have some kind of a decision from the judge. So I am not doing anything on this until the arbitration has been decided.
Mayor Benson.
Okay. Councilmember Deedy.
So Councilmember Pepper, can you help me understand? When you say you got to go out for a RFQ, but you want fresh eyes and stuff. Is that a statement that the three council member majority are saying to the consultants already working and have done work that we do not want you to apply again? Because when you say we want fresh eyes, we want new people, is that a statement? Because that's what, if I was listening to this on audio and I was a consultant, that's what I would hear. If I've worked for Black Diamond, I can't apply because the council doesn't want me. Is that true? Is that a true statement?
I would not consider that a true statement.
Then why would you say we want fresh eyes, we want a new perspective, we want new companies to apply? We don't want the same people. We don't want the same stuff. We don't want anybody in here that knows what's going on now. We want new eyes. So what does that mean if I'm a contractor? What does that mean to me if I've already been here? What does that mean? Does it mean that I am not going to be able to get hired because I've already been here? So I'm not technically fresh eyes because I know about all this. That's what I hear. Brian Weber, is that, am I wrong?
Well, it's your opinion.
You don't have an opinion on those words?
No.
No? That's because you three agree on all that.
No, it's You're not still, because we all three
it
agree.
It is because you agree.
No, it is not.
Courtesy.
No, because every time we come in here, it's like, oh,
then speak
you guys,
up, ma'am.
You guys say this. You guys say this.
Well, because you
That's
do.
It's a bunch of crap.
Oh, BS? Yeah. Grab some. Excuse me. You need to speak up and say something and not just follow suit with these two and have an opinion on something. You gotta have some passion on it, and you got to understand what Pat Pepper's saying is that she doesn't want a single group that has already contracted with the City of Black Diamond to apply. And could you read that statement again, Pat Pepper, to me? Maybe I missed something, but read it again, and Brian Weber, listen to it.
I think that more than one group has the right to apply for positions in the city.
Correct. Everybody
if,
has the right, Mayor.
Now,
I know you got the floor.
You've already got the floor.
Oh, I do. All right. So I move that the Council Growth Management Committee establish criteria and evaluate RFQ responses.
Pat Pepper's trying to talk, Kristen.
Okay, you need to start over because I'm not getting paid.
Mayor, Kristen, please be quiet.
I'm not getting into that.
Okay. I move that the Council Growth Management Committee establish criteria and evaluate RFQ responses for the traffic and civil engineering RFQ. Do I have a second?
Second.
Now, from Attorney Kohler, there are no state statutory requirements for an RFQ for a critical area consultant. The council, before it gives notice of an RFQ, should appoint a council selection committee to evaluate responses to the RFQs for a wetlands consultant. I move that the Growth Management Committee establish an RFQ criteria for a wetlands consultant and an RFQ then be issued, and that the committee will evaluate the RFQ responses. Do I have a second?
Wait, I'll second you.
You've already got
okay,
it.
So we mayor, can take them one at a time.
Mayor.
Yeah.
You're not the mayor.
Councilmember Edelman.
First of all, what a bunch of hooey. Second of all, the city already had gone out a few months ago, in December, advertised for new consultants on these projects. And the only people, again, just like our city attorney, who responded to the RFQ, which is qualifications, are the ones that we've hired. And there is not anybody in this room outside of maybe Seth and Andy kind of, sort of, that have the capability to make any kind of decisions on these things. Certainly not any of the six of us sitting up here on the dais. Where do you get off saying that you're going to have a committee and you're going to make these decisions? You do not have the qualifications to even address whether a contractor has the qualifications. Bunch of garbage.
So this looks very similar to your hiring here of an attorney. You know, we went out for qualifications for attorney. We had one apply, nobody else. So then you went out and searched with Brian Drudowski and Kristen Bryant, found these two people, and you bring them forward with contracts, and you hire them, Pat Pepper, you sign the contracts. So this looks, smells, and looks the same as what you guys are going to do next. You must have already gone out with the attorney here, Kristen Bryant and Brian Dardowski, and found who you want, correct? Found who you want, so you're preparing them to apply for this position. And again, you can't be honest. You can't come out and say, we have this company that we are hoping will apply. So we'd like to go back out, and we'd like to get this company to apply, and we're going to choose them, even if these other ones apply, but these are the ones we're going to apply, we're going to pick. Just be honest. Be honest with your citizens. Get your truth out. That's what you're elected to do, is be truthful and to listen to your citizens and get all the information out to them. But this is a smell test that I see exactly happening with what you just did with this gentleman sitting out here.
All right, there's a motion on the floor. Oh, wait.
There is a motion on the floor.
There is a motion on the floor.
Mr. Williamson, did you want to address something or?
Yep. Yeah, go for it. So whoever provides you the advice, or the gentleman here, here's, I'd like to remind you that we are Teamsters, and you have bargained our work. So you are now heading into doing our work. I'd ask you to look into your council rules where it says that the staff will determine the contracts and will then bring them forward to you, for you, that you won't have influence on the selecting of the consultants. And I don't know exactly where that is in your council rules, because who knows what council rules we're using anymore, but it seems you stepped over the line into what staff's work is. So hopefully we could get that amended before we have to head down a more difficult path. So I would just encourage you again, which I've done so many times, to come in and talk to me about these things before they come onto the floor of the council, and we can have discussions about how it affects the directors in our own departments. So just be thoughtful. I would encourage you to be very, very thoughtful of how you do your motions tonight and your old council rules and our bargaining rights as Teamster members.
Mr. Linehan?
Oh, I was just going to remind everyone that the Washington Supreme Court has held that it is an executive act to select a contractor. It is not a legislative act to select a contractor. So just a reminder, Ruano versus Spellman, 1973, that's been on the books a long time. It's a legislative act to authorize funds. It's a legislative act to determine that there will be money spent on certain purposes, but it is an executive act to select the contractor, to agree with him as to the thing to be done, and the precise price, the terms of payment, and the numerous other conditions incident to the contract. Those are executive functions.
Councilmember Pepper, did you have another comment?
No.
So there's a motion and a second?
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, I have one other item to bring up tonight. We have had...
I think there was another motion on the floor. No?
No, there wasn't. So... So anyway, Rob Reed, our IT person, we have been contracting with the city of Milton, and we have a lot of upgrades to make this year on equipment. It's in the budget. And so we had a conversation with Rob last week, and it was determined that we, under the contract or under the funds that we have allocated for IT, that Rob would be able to work with us an extra day a week for the money that's already in the budget. And so we were hoping that you would approve us hiring Rob by the city and canceling our contract with Milton IT, because they don't give us enough time with him.
Mayor?
Councilmember Edelman.
So I move that the City of Black Diamond hire Rob Reed for the IT services not to exceed the remaining IT budget and to terminate our contract with the City of Milton IT.
Second.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I think it's great that we get him an extra day here at the city and hire him as our sole IT person. I know that the police department has got a lot of issues and needs help with, you know, their stuff. And then the city has had issues as well. So I would hope that he would come up and do a little talking about the things that are happening in the city and what it would be to have that extra day and how it would benefit us. Because I think it truly is a huge benefit for the City of Black Diamond.
Is there any further discussion?
Well, I'd just like
did to you want to?
Can I say something else?
Come on up and
Mayor?
Introduce
while
yourself.
He's walking.
I just want you all to know that he has been a joy to work with.
Yeah.
I had some issues with our tablets, and I just drop it off with Rob in an hour or so later because we've been switching all of our software and stuff, and he got everything up and running. He's pleasant to work with. No, I'm very thrilled that you're coming to work for us.
My name's Rob. I've actually known you guys for almost 2 years, mm-hmm. Working with the City of Milton, so I've pretty much been staple here since then. Everything IT we currently handle. We've been working on an infrastructure rebuild for probably the last year and a half, getting all planned out and making sure we had enough budget and kind of some decisions on course of action and new technologies and getting us up to speed on some compliance issues and dealing with some of our older items that are getting to their end of life and starting to cause us some problems. Currently, we're already in the middle, probably about a good 30% or so into the actual project. Most of the purchases have been purchased. Everything's under budget. It's just now a matter of labor, making sure we get it all done correctly so our investments aren't wasted. Kind of looking forward to doing that. With my past situation, I was spread out to several other cities. So my time here was very limited and also, it's focused because unfortunately I had to deal, you're too spread out. So I kind of made a decision with my workload and stuff and all the people here in the city and what we want going forward, it's a good fit. It's something we've already been doing, it's nothing new. We're just gonna make sure we see it through and get everything planned for the future, because unfortunately there's some things that we're going to have to start dealing with more that we haven't been, just with the times changing, to make sure that we're not liable and to make sure that we have our ducks in order for the future that's coming. Some of it, if you guys watch the news, has already been happening. We want to make sure that we're not one of those. Mm-hmm. So that's the highlight. If there's any questions.
So an extra day here, how many days will that be then?
So currently, our contract, the current contract with Milton is worded a little funny, but I've basically been here 2 days a week, and then I remote support, or it's been often more than 2 days a week,
mm-hmm.
But we do remote support after that. So we're looking at basically upping that to, like, actual 3 days a week or 30 hours. I would rather look at it more as hours than days, personally.
So 20 to 30 hours or 30 hours or 20 hours?
I believe it was 30?
29.
29?
Oh, that's
29. and it's basically better to have that spread out because there's a lot of nighttime work, also daytime work.
Right.
When we limit it to days, it's unfortunate people have to go 2 or 3 days with problems with no recourse. So we want to correct that so we don't have that problem.
So some of your other clients, are you keeping some of your other clients?
Actually, I don't plan on keeping any. I have a couple friends I do work with, and I mean occasionally. They're very respectful because they know I do work. But they're all up north and people I've had for a long time, but they're really not an
So, and then the other question that I had is, from what you said, I understood you to be saying that the IT upgrades that were happening were mostly for the police department?
Not correct.
No.
We're
okay.
Currently working on the police department first.
Right. Okay.
But the upgrades are all entire citywide.
Well, citywide, what percentage are we there?
It's
I know it's like a 5-year program.
Yeah, or maybe less. It's hopefully a couple is what we're shooting for. But it's kind of convoluted because right now the foundation work has already been laid for both areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right now we're working more to start the process of actually moving onto the system with the police department. The groundwork has already been laid for both City Hall's complex and the police department complex. The hardware is already installed in both locations. There's some cleanup to do, but that's already been done. The fun part now, unfortunately, is now actually getting the systems actually up and running on the new hardware and the new design. And that's where we're just starting that with the police department right
okay.
now.
Okay. And the other question that I would have then is, I know that we talked about it. How's the link to the jail so that they don't have to, so jail people don't have to come out here?
The system has been in place for a couple of months. We've been kind of back and forth with the Score video guys doing some testing. It's up and running. It looks good. The last addition we just made last week is we had to do some wiring because they had a concern about having a printer in here for the attorneys to be able to use. As you can see, there's a new plug down there.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't get to finish that job because they needed the council chambers.
Hmm.
So we had to go and we'll come back and get it done probably next week.
Well, it's a fax machine that they wanted, right?
Well, both. They want faxing and printing.
Okay.
Because the way that system works is they'll be able to hit a button from the Score jail and be able to print to this printer.
Mm-hmm.
And also that way the judge from her computer can actually print documents also, and we can receive faxes.
Cool.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yeah. This wasn't on the agenda, and maybe some other council member knew about it and maybe could make a motion to add it to the agenda under new business.
I just made a motion. That's all we need to do.
We don't need to. I added it to the agenda. The mayor can add things to the agenda. I added it to the agenda because we just had confirmation from City of Milton that he would work for them, and his last day would be the last day of June. So we just found that out this week, a day or two ago. So, and we have to have your approval for FTE. Kevin.
So he would be three-fifths.
Kevin Espin, Facilities Coordinator. I just wanted to put my two cents in, too, to say that we have some critical issues going on in our building. We have an overheating problem going right now. We have a temporary air conditioner in there. The room's getting up to about 90 degrees, and we really need Rob to get in there and finish some work that, frankly, just hasn't had time to do. We're also running an extension cord from one side of the building to the other to help keep things going, and so that's kind of a fire hazard issue. So I would just encourage you to, if you can, make a decision tonight and move forward because we've got a lot of stuff to do, and it needs to be done soon. Thank you.
So,
Councilmember Morgan.
So I'll ask one more thing. So we're almost halfway through the year. This is 29 hours. Do we have a an actual budget amount?
Yeah, it's like 79,000 or
yeah.
something. We do have a budget. I didn't bring it with me today.
For the rest of the year. For the rest of the year.
And that's what the motion says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You might want to add FTE to the motion. You might want to amend.
Because that would be like a 3/5 or a 60%? I mean, if you're talking in like 5/5 is a full time. 3/5 would be 60%, and because you were saying like 30 hours.
Yeah, my understanding was I was going to leave it to you guys. Honestly, I'm really flexible. My personal situations makes it very easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still going to get 24-hour service for him. He will be available mm-hmm. if we have a problem at night or on the weekend to call him 24/7.
Because also a lot of this work does happen at night and on weekends because we can't down your systems during the day to do most of the infrastructure.
Right.
And then also, so my day-to-day routine is usually a split day anyway
mm-hmm.
because that way I can kind of visit everybody personally and make sure everything's good during normal hours and then usually have to work at night just to keep things up and running and all our backups and changes. So it's very common in my profession. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
It's just
Councilmember Morgan.
So on the scope of work, from what I'm hearing and it's fastly developing in my mind here, it's not just IT, but there's a certain amount of electrician work as well.
Not exactly electrician work, for instance, but like low voltage wiring.
Low voltage electrician work.
It's not power outlets and things, so okay. It follows in some different requirements.
So it's the hardware part of IT.
Yeah, just they overlap a lot. Mm-hmm, sometimes we would contract out if it was a large job when you're doing a new building, for instance, or things. But little onesie-twosie jobs is very common, just to get what you need done. I'm also a big fan of whatever it takes, whatever we got to do. IT falls into so many weird genres. Everything from we're going to get, like, the presentation on the TV fixed. It's barely an IT thing. It's almost audiovisual. That's like its own little subset, too. But whatever we got to do, we do. Anyway, you always know where to find me if you have questions.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out how do I want to reword the motion to get FTE in there.
Do
either of you have?
Do you need to have FTE in there?
We probably don't have to.
But it doesn't.
It's already budgeted.
Yes, it needs to be. FTE needs to be in the motion.
Do you have suggestions?
Just as an FTE position.
As an all right.
Well, yeah. But probably you probably do need the exact.
All right.
Oh, part time. Yeah. Oh, because that keeps it flexible.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to restate my motion.
Amend your motion.
No, I'm going to amend my motion. I move that the City of Black Diamond hire Rob Reed for an FTE IT services, not to exceed the remaining IT budget, and terminate our contract with the City of Milton IT.
Second.
Does that?
Councilmember Pepper?
I was just going to, because she was saying if we say part-time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Does that meet that? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Any other discussion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, now we're on to the consent agenda. And so are we going to do the consent agenda as a whole, or are you going to separate it out again?
I'm going to separate it out again. The vouchers. I'd like to exclude voucher 44973, the parametrics voucher, until the next regular meeting.
Could you explain why?
I started to look at it, and it's very complicated. It has it spends money from a lot of different contracts that the council made, and I need to go in and look at the supporting documentation, and I didn't want to go in there and make everybody sick, so I haven't.
So are you doing that in your finance meeting with Brian Weber?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you too, Brian? Is that your same? You both are confused on that? Will you go in and talk to May about?
I'll talk to Erica.
Erica, will you talk to May to figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brian, well, would be good if you both
May is out of time right now. So.
Well, I understand that, which is one of the other reasons, and I also didn't want to make anybody else sick.
Okay, so do you want to make a motion to accept
the I would recommend accepting the rest of the vouchers and moving them for payment.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So do you want to do the consent agenda with the rest of the items on the consent agenda?
Well, let's approve the payroll. I move that we approve the payroll.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So the next item is the May 4th minutes.
Councilmember
Pepper. For a special meeting.
I would like to make a motion to approve the May 4th minutes.
Second.
Question.
Councilmember Edelman.
I mean, the mayor already asked this, but if it's your intent to go ahead and approve meeting minutes, why don't you make one motion and approve them all at one time?
because we're not going to prove them all.
Well, of course not.
Well, you can't make that statement unless you already know that the three of you aren't going to prove them all.
You can't make a statement
like that.
Well, they are. We already
know. Well, they already know that.
OPMA violation.
Okay, so that's
you
enough.
Make a motion. You made a motion to approve the May 4th minutes in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mayor?
Councilmember Weber.
I'd like to address the last little comment dribble that just came out. Just because a couple council members may want to look at the minutes individually does not mean that we all three did it together.
But we'll watch the vote.
Because I sat here and went through the minutes myself today.
Nice.
Individually.
Good.
So
they're pretty quick, except for the April 21st.
Yeah, they are. So just keep trying to keep the dribble down to.
We'll just watch the votes, okay?
Okay. Council minutes for the work session May 11th.
For May 11th. Work session for May 11th. I'm not ready to pass them. I have
you
some revisions
even there.
To
make.
Listen to Pat.
Councilmember Pepper.
I would like to make a motion to pass the minutes for May 11th.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. How about the council meeting of May 18th?
May the 18th. May the 18th has a public hearing, and I have some legal questions I need to ask our attorney about those, and so I would recommend holding them.
What legal questions?
Yeah.
You've got that. We're all aware of
our attorney's
legal
here.
Issues. Eric, what are the legal issues? She knows what they are, and she doesn't need you to talk about them. She knows what they are.
If I may just stand and answer a question.
Yes, please.
Can I go and do it?
Everybody.
Gary.
So with due respect to Ms. Lindham, I'm not laughing at him when I seem to have heard some of the comments tonight, so thank you for that.
I was laughing at the mayor, sir. Oh. The mayor made a funny
excuse me.
Moving on.
Mr. Glenn insulted me. I was just clarifying that I was laughing at the mayor, making fun of her husband. That's all.
Can we move on, please?
Excuse me, Councilmember.
Yeah.
Courtesy.
Remind your council of that, Ms. Pepper, please.
Yes.
One of the things, and the reason that I was thinking about holding back those minutes from the work study was that we had decided, I thought, actually, both sides of this divide had decided to go to, since the meetings are recorded, in case somebody wants to listen to them, we had decided to go to minutes that were just action minutes.
You mean in terms of the recording
now? And, yeah, because there's a recording, and so we're only going to report the actions. But then we come along, and I'm not sure legally about public hearings, if there might be a different standard, since the state law calls out that there needs to be public hearings on certain items. I'm wondering if there's a different standard for minutes.
I would think that public hearings that all citizens would want to hear and read what other citizens brought up, to know that here's what other citizens were speaking about and addressing at a public hearing.
So
you'd want them all written out.
Councilmember Morgan, what's your point on the minutes for the 18th? There was a public hearing on
what?
There was
a public hearing, and I'm wondering what the standard for minutes, the legal standard for minutes is for the public hearing.
For recording?
No, for the written minutes. Because the written minutes is the legal record.
The written minutes do not need to be totally like a book.
Could you briefly summarize it?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm a little forward. Believe it or not, despite my size, I'm 5 minutes
long. You might have to hold it up.
Okay. The short answer on that is that the minutes just need to be briefly summarizing what was done. They do not need to be a book any more than the minutes of council meetings are. So that's been the truth for the 40-some-odd years I've represented cities. They have to be properly representative of what was done. The recordings are to be kept available so that citizens may listen to them if they wish. But that, you know, you do not have to have them in.
So, Mayor Benson. So, my question.
Member Deedy.
My question to Erica then is, there a specific person's comment in here that you do not want on an official paper document that you want striked out of here, and you want the citizens just to go listen, but they don't, you don't want them to read it? Because that's what I'm getting. Is that correct?
I'm exploring in my head what the legal standard is for these minutes for the public hearing. And besides, and it comes up in other written material as well, I'm also wondering if in public hearings, if citizens submit written material, are those written materials part of the public hearings minutes?
If they're submitted to the group, yes.
Yes.
As they're if they're submitted in written form?
Yeah, they're attached.
Yes.
But on other, just comments on other things that are not part of a public hearing, are those?
Again, it's a matter of what the recorder decides to put into the minutes and what the group, if you will, approves.
Approves, okay. So I still would like to take this back to May 18th, back to the GovOps meeting and decide where we are on this with this expert testimony.
So what is it that you don't like? Is it too detailed for you now?
Councilmember Deedy.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that you don't want it verbatim or at least what has been spoken here. And I like to remind you that a lot of people
You can sit down now, I think.
I think
the question's been answered.
Don't like to listen to the audio. It takes a long time to get through the audio. I like to go through the minutes and scan and say, okay, Tanya Nelson said this, so I can read what her statement is. Or I can go through here and say, Steve Page said this. So I can do it quickly without having to listen to everything or scan through it. It makes more sense to me on a public hearing that you leave it like it is, that you don't start just saying, Tanya Nelson spoke, City of Black Diamond. Kristen Bryant spoke, City of Bellevue. So I think it's good to leave, for a public hearing, to leave it as a full document right here.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I want to just make a comment, too, because the title of this public hearing was the ordinance regarding traffic concurrency management, which had to do with permitting things like the 4th of July fireworks and Tough Mudder. We approved that in a special meeting last week. So since that changed, I don't understand your heartburn by documenting what people said. It makes no sense to me.
Right.
So I'd like to make a motion that we pass May 18th, 2017 minutes.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carries. The next minutes are the minutes of June 1st.
And the minutes from June 1st, I would like to hold also. I've noticed that just from what I remember, there's a few things that I need to check against the tape. I haven't had a chance to do that. They are incorrectly reported.
And what would that be so that I can also listen to that? So what would that area be?
I'm not saying any specific place intentionally, because I only caught one thing, but I need to.
Why don't you tell us what the one thing is?
The one thing is a general thing. That, for instance, where it states here,
what page?
Where it's on the second of six, where it states here that Bob Edelman discussed that he would like to know about a pedestrian overpass that had been removed, and I don't think that's what he meant.
But it doesn't matter what you thought he meant. It's what he said.
I don't even know if that's what he said. I need to listen to the tape and see what he said. If he was talking about, when I read the rest of it and what it's about, I think he was talking about the sidewalk on the Roberts Drive Bridge. But
so
if he said that, then I would like it to say that.
But that's not what he said. And you need to remember that when they are doing these meeting minutes, that sometimes what we're thinking and what comes out of our mouths are not necessarily exactly the same thing.
So I make a motion to pass the June 1st, 2017 council minutes.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
And quit picking on my husband.
How about special meeting of June 8th?
On the special meeting on June 8th, I move that the language of the adopted motion that appears in the middle of the page be written differently, and I'll give the clerk what I'm putting in here because this is what was actually the motion. It's a motion to adopt an ordinance amending chapter 11.11.040 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code to include additional exemptions to the concurrency ordinance was moved by Councilmember Edelman and seconded by Councilmember Pepper, and the motion passed 5-0.
Wait.
It was Councilmember Weber, though.
It was okay. All you're doing is rewriting. You're not changing the content of
the reason that I'm rewriting it is so that it matches the motion that was passed at the time.
Councilmember Pepper.
All right, is that a correction that we can make or an adjustment we can make right now and then pass them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we have the motion be whatever was actually stated in the meeting? The clerk can clarify it when she does the meeting minutes. Does that work?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's what I do. I don't do that.
No, you don't do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So I move that we adopt the June 8th special council meeting minutes to reflect the motion that I made when the clerk listens to the tape.
Second.
Oh.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do we do June 1st?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Department report?
Andy Williamson, National Government Review Team. Just reminding everybody on the 21st, which is Wednesday of next week, from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Rock Creek Bridge will be closed as we do the final preparations on the bridge. So detours are up. Press releases have been in the paper. So you will not have access from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. across Rock Creek. Fire department's been notified. School district's been notified. Police has been notified. Everybody's been notified. So
just that be on the reader board out there.
It's out there
already. It's out there.
It's on there. It's on the way.
So here you go.
Hey, Andy, before you go. I just have a quick question, and it has to do with on the other side of the bridge out by the villages.
Yep.
So they've got – I hadn't been out that way for a while.
A lot of activity.
You've got – there's the traffic revision with the uh-huh. – is that going to – is that permanent? Is that how it's going to be, or is that just temporary?
That's temporary as we build the roundabout.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to clarify.
Councilmember Pepper?
Yeah, we went that way the other day, and it looks like – is that the – half of the roundabout?
Yeah, come into my office and I'll show you the plans. And we can sit down and have a great conversation. More than welcome. I really encourage you to come in. It would be great.
Stay away.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. So on Tuesday, June 6th, I attended the three transportation board chairs meeting, Skateboard, Eastside Transportation, and Seashore Transportation. And for our contract renewal with King County. And so we're working on that right now for Skateboard. And on Monday, 6/12, I attended the Enoch Claw High School graduation at the White River Amphitheater. And Tuesday, 6/13, I attended the Regional Transportation Initiative System in Seattle. And there was probably 100 elected officials there. And Tammy Deedy went there with me. Councilmember Deedy, do you have a report?
So I did attend that. I can't remember if I attended skateboard with you, so I apologize. It's been a long 2 weeks. I did attend the Father's Day luncheon with Mayor Benson and Councilmember Edelman today, serving lunch to our seniors for Father's Day.
Councilmember Morgan?
Hi. I'm gonna just read this real fast because I think it's important for us to get it. On Thursday, June 8th, I went to the flood control meeting of the King County Flood Control District. This was an orientation to the year's work for this advisory committee for new members and for really everyone for the 2017 work program. The regularly flooded, or at least at jeopardy of flooding, cities have permanent seats on this flood control. Black Diamond occupies a seat as a member of the Sound Cities Association. Property of Black Diamond is paying currently $12.12 per thousand of property tax for the flood control projects that this committee recommends, and all the cities are equalized to a floor of $10,000 regardless of the property values in the city to help the smaller cities like Black Diamond. So, and we should remember that Black Diamond is getting help from flood control to replace the Covington Creek culverts with a bridge. Mostly what this committee does is approve the budget for the King County Council and the individual projects of work for the next 6 years to achieve the stated goals of flood control on the east side, which is the source of flooding in the lower elevations to the west. The main goal is to stop repeated loss of built infrastructure from repeated flooding, whatever means are necessary and practical. We get the project list ready for the King County Council's budget process, so the work is compressed into a short time span, and we should be done at the very latest by August 31. The property tax revenue that we're talking about here is on the order of $55 million. There are also other granting agencies, and the flood controls spend a whole lot of money on the Howard Hanson Dam, and they've also spent money on the Mud Mountain Dam, and in fact, they've spent a lot of money, of flood control money, nationwide. But the flood control also supports somewhat the river watershed areas. Those are the RIAs, the conservation districts, clean water and surface water, NOAA, and the Puget Sound Superfund cleanup. So then on Monday, the 5th, I guess I'm going the wrong direction, I went to the Ravensdale Unincorporated Area Council meeting where they had many agencies involved with the Silica Reserve in Ravensdale. There's two companies involved there, Holosum and Aspect, that they're trying to clean up a very, very small part of a very large piece of ground. The ground is really super toxic. It's super alkaline with contamination of arsenic as well. It's been known and reported to them for many years, most lately since 1983, which the alkalinity is mostly from the Portland cement process. The Portland cement was compounded in Seattle, but the seed material came from Ravensdale site, and the leftover toxic byproduct was then returned to Ravensdale for years. The public agencies involved at this meeting were the Department of Ecology, Public Health, Safe Public Water, Mining, Solid Waste, and the like, continue to permit activities on this ground with no alleviation or mitigation against the pollutants, which are now found in 2015 at the same levels as they were first reported in 1983. The fixes they are trying have no extended track record demonstrating an ability to clean up the pollution to any effect. The testing for the contamination from this site seems to be very local. I don't think there would be any discovery of contamination drifting or flowing off from this site into the natural environment. There's no prediction of when the lands could be considered cleared of the pollution, though there is an optimistic hope that 5 years might be able to result in an in-situ capping process that would hold the pollution on site below a cap and thus not be problematic to the environment. There hasn't been any animal testing
or testing of other life forms around the area to see if pollutants are congregating in them. The methods they are using haven't been tested over time to show that there's a success rate anywhere, and certainly not in a rain-saturated area like the Pacific Northwest and like up in these mountains. This is a case of our government agencies have been unable to protect and defend the people and their health properly, even with the strict permitting process in place. It's taken 45 years and a lot of persistent citizen work to get some corrective action to be contemplated. And the inaction of the government and its complacency with the status quo is a very big frustration to the people who think they're paying a lot of money and not getting very many promised predictions. And just this alkalinity, it was struck me because it comes up other places. When we're talking about high alkalinity, we're talking about alkalinity in the range of 13.5, and 14 is as high as you can go. And 14 is like hydroxide drain cleaner. That's what that is. So that's really pretty toxic. And the normal place for it to be, the midpoint is 7. Our area here should be a little acid. It should be 6.5 to 7, something like that. So that's all.
Councilmember Edelman.
So I continue to serve lunch at the community center with the mayor and Councilmember Deedy. We probably had at least 125 seniors today for Father's Day lunch. I highly recommend anybody that wants to go and do something that's really great for our community, go get your food handler's permit and go serve these folks. They are a wealth of information. They tell you what they think. You don't even have to ask them. They tell you anyway, in no uncertain terms. I met with Mae Miller last week on the vouchers in preparation of tonight's meeting, did the work session and the special meeting last week. Last night we had the Public Issues Committee meeting that is part of the Sound Cities Association, and I am the Black Diamond representative on that. And so Brenda was kind enough to print this out. There are a few extra copies here. I emailed this all out to the council last night when I got home at whatever time that was, 9:30 or something.
10 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. I was working still, see? Anyway, there is a current property tax assessment for Veterans and Human Services. It's scheduled to sunset in December. So King County is now coming up with something that I think is even better because it affects us just as much. It's Veterans, Seniors, and Human Services Levy. And so the bottom line is, and this is all still at the King County level of perturbating it, King County wanted to have a 12 cent per mil value assessed on our property taxes. PSRC said, no, that's too much. So for what this means is that for every $1,000 of value, you would pay 12 cents. So current, and then what's happened in this current funding that we've got, as values go up, the rate actually goes down. And so, I mean, this gets to be very, very confusing. We're looking at probably an increase of about $30 a year, depending on the value of your home. But it's not cast in concrete. But basically what they're going to be doing now is they're picking up the seniors. And we have talked about this a lot in this last year where especially our Black Diamond Community Center that serves the seniors, the kids, the homeless, the couch surfers, all of this population that's kind of in an undercurrent in some cases. And their budgets have been slashed significantly, not only by King County, by Catholic Community Services, by United Way. They've taken tens of thousands of dollars in hits. And so what this is going to try and do is to equalize it a little bit more. So out of the three components It'll be split three ways between veterans, human services, and the seniors. And we all recognize that there is a huge issue with the vets, and we need to get them off the streets. They need to get the treatment that they need. They need the medical care. So basically what I'm hoping that you guys maybe kind of flash through this really quickly, I need to get back to the executive director and SCA people, and they are looking for support. Do we support continuing? So it's similar to like a bond issue with the school district where it sunsets, but then we go ahead and re-implement another bond issue so that we can continue to raise some revenue. This is going to be a little bit more. We don't know what that dollar figure is yet, but there's a huge need out there.
So, Dean, is this the next PIC meeting is after our first council meeting in July?
In July, yeah. So like in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we need to have an answer that I can take back to the PIC.
So it would just be each council member read this, look it over, give your opinion on it, take it to your committee if you want to discuss it there. But we need to get Janie, just like any committee that you're in, you need to bring it back to the council to have the council's reaction before you go back to your committee and do a vote. So that's...
Well, and this is important because we are, out of the 36 cities in SCA, we are one. We have an equal vote with Bellevue and Seattle. Well, Seattle's not a part of it, but with Bellevue, with Redmond, with Kirtland, with all of the big, big cities, they don't get any more vote than I do. And one of the things that I brought up, too, last night was we don't have a human services department in this city. We have the Black Diamond Community Center that fulfills that need. What is the county's mechanism for spreading the money to a 501c3? And they didn't have an answer. So I'm looking for that answer in the next time we get together. Also, King County would come out and talk to us if you want us to. I can arrange that. Be it a work study or just a quick
presentation. At a meeting.
Presentation.
Do we have consensus with that? Do you want me to call the county and have somebody come down? And they won't do this whole big dog and pony show. But, you know, what do you want, like a 5 or 10 minute presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys agreeable with that?
Yeah, I'm agreeable.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I have an upcoming event that a lot of us that have lived here for a long, long time know that tomorrow between 4 and 6 is the Keith Tim Memorial at the Community Center. And I think it would be a really great thing to have as many people be there for his sister because she's the last one in the family now. So I plan on attending.
Okay.
Councilmember Weber.
Let's see. Last week we did the work study, and we did the awesomely fast special meeting.
That was amazing. That's how our meeting should be.
It should be. I too attended the Inumqua graduation on Monday, albeit probably for a different reason. So I'm down two, and I got one to go. So,
yeah, I had no graduating students. I just went to represent the city of Black Diamond.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's all I have.
Councilmember Pepper.
Thank you. Yes, I attended the work session in this speedy special meeting. And one thing that when we went to the Tri-Cities meeting, Covington has about 25,000 people and growing, but the thing of interest, there are many things of interest, but one thing of interest to me personally was that they have passed a $1 per capita toward public art projects, and as Black Diamond grows from 4,300 to wherever we're going, that might be something to think about in the future. I know Issaquah has a seat tax for like theaters and that kind of thing for the arts. I also attended on April 29th, the legislative district, and I don't remember if anybody mentioned this the last time, community projects funded in the Senate and the House budgets. The new Black Diamond Elementary School received money in the Senate capital budget to help complete the project that will get kids out of portables into state-of-the-art classroom. The state miscalculated, and so they have
$1 million, and they are making good on the correct dollar amount. So I thought that was kind of really good for Black Diamond and our students. And I ran across something very interesting, which is the Main Street Fairness Internet Sales Tax, provisions HB 2186 and SB 5929 help level the playing field between local brick and mortar businesses and out-of-state internet retailers. And AWC Research was Association of Washington Cities, and you can click on any city that you want in Washington and see what the projected revenues are going to be. So for Black Diamond will receive $100,000 between 2018 and 2013, $5,000 in 2018, $14,000 in 2019, $18,000 in 2020, $19,000 in 2021, $21,000 in 2022, and $23,000 in 2023. And I just think that it's excellent that Black Diamond and its citizens get to have this little extra boost in their retail.
Yeah, we've been receiving that since 2011 or 12.
Yeah.
Do we have an attorney's report?
The mayor.
So it's time for our next public comments. Please come up to the microphone and say your name and your city and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
I'll try to limit for less than that. Dan Glenn, I'm going to respond.
You're going to have to talk up. I can't even hear you.
Comment that was made at the last session. I've only been in 2 sessions. In terms of my background, I've been a member of the bar since 1972. I began representing small cities in 1974 and continue to do so. And in fact, I continue to represent the small cities that hired me in 1974, 1975, 1982. I left one city that hired me in 1975 in 2015 because I began to get mature. And happily, they honored a suggestion I made as my successor in terms of my own practice. I continue to have the limited municipal law practice. I've been president of the Washington State Municipal Attorneys. I've served on their board for several years, and they gave me an award last year, which surprised me, about distinguished service. So I have a background in this law. The personal comments I would make, obviously there is a debate here between the legislative and executive branches as to authority. Neither branch has all the authority. And the statutes make it clear to an extent where that authority actually exists. The problem that is present is that, for instance, contracting authority or even the selection of legal counsel, well, either you'll come to an agreement on that or the alternative is someone else deciding that for you, which is counterproductive to the long-term interests of any city. So I guess from my standpoint, I'm a great believer in a basic concept of you respectfully disagree. You don't smirk, you don't make jokes, you don't do anything like that, because people do disagree. And anyone who watches the state, or not state, but the United States Congress, the way some of those folks work and talk, that's counterproductive. And what I'm suggesting is that that type of activity is totally counterproductive to achieving the goals that any city elected group wants to, and especially to the citizens they serve. That's it. Thank you. I hope I was within the 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Is there anybody else wishing? Judy?
Judy Goodwin, Black Diamond. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to you. I just have some questions about the resolution that was passed about the RFQs. We talked about the fact that an attorney had made a ruling on the contracts, on the mitigation of the contracts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Was sent back to Oak Point.
Well, it was. So on the arbitration, they wanted them to go back to some more basic language that had to do with their legal requirement to be able to sue the city for not following the master development review team. So they have to calculate the statement that they came up with, and that's not going to happen until July.
Okay. So how does that coexist with the resolution that was passed tonight that the council said that they were going to go out, they voted to go out and get new RFQs?
Well, they don't have any standing to do that, and I think Mr. Williamson made that clear, that that's his job, and so he could file another grievance or whatever, but basically it's invalid. They don't have any standing to do what they're talking about doing. We have regulations within the master development and the development agreement that says how those are selected, and it's not through the council. The council has absolutely no role in the MDIRT.
Okay. And then what I heard from Mr. Lenihan is that case before the Supreme Court stated that the executive branch had all of the ability, the only one that had the ability to actually hire contractors.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's that whole thing is moot at this
yes,
point.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thanks. Pam?
Pam McCain, Black Diamond. I wanted to speak for a moment to Councilperson Pepper's perception of getting a fresh eyes on these contracts. For instance, when we have been working on the comp plan, we've been pleased to work with Barbara Kincaid from BHC Consultants, and thank goodness she has been a consistent member of the conversation. I can't imagine from a taxpayer perspective if we thought we should go out and buy fresh eyes on every contractor that comes into this city. It's not practical. These agreements that are withstanding in the city are huge. They're huge documents. They have a long timeline that they have to be effective, and getting fresh eyes on that is not a good, it's not a good way to spend taxpayers' money. And personally, I don't want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting new people for fresh eyes on these very intense contracts that have been passed for the benefit of the city and that are very intricate. And I also wanted to state for the public, our council people, and I'm not meaning to be disrespectful here, this is a $160 or $90 per month job that you have, so mostly a volunteer job. Your compensation doesn't even nearly begin to cover, I'm sure, the amount of time that you put into this. But I would bet none of you have any kind of qualifications that would even come close to any kind of an engineering degree or anything that would be necessary to be able to weigh in on these contracts or these consultants to any extent that would be useful for the city, for the citizens of Black Diamond. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Leslie.
Leslie Cooley, Black Diamond. And I just actually wanted to comment on one of the topics from the work session last week. I was sorry I missed it, but I did listen to the audio. And it was specifically about the presentation about the new regional transportation improvement district. I am just curious about what the next steps are regarding that particular topic, and that you please consider the impacts to the citizens who have felt the impacts of the city transportation benefit district. So please be conscious and be aware. Please involve the citizens in any of those discussions or any of the presentations if you're considering moving forward with that process. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Hello, my name is Kristen Bryant, and I'm from Bellevue. And thank you again, Mayor and Council, for the opportunity to address you. There, in my comments earlier, I was providing some quotes from the attorney who submitted briefs to the city regarding the arbitration that's come up again, and I wanted to take this time to finish some of the parts that I didn't get to finish reading. Here's a certain regarding the master developer review team contracts and the city. The quote is, although Oak Point or Yarrow Bay and the mayor claim they are having a dispute, reviewing the memoranda discloses that they agree. So that means that the mayor and Oak Point completely agree on certain issues, and mainly what they agree on is that Oak Point should get to have a say in who reviews their projects, from what I could tell. The document goes on to say, the mayor's mediation memorandum discloses that she embraces an expansive theory of executive power that neither RCW 35A.12.100 nor Chapter 35A.11 RCW support. Under the mayor's theory, after the city council signed initial contracts in 2009, the mayor's, and this is in quotes, executive authority, allowed her to renew such long-term contracts until Oak Point's build-out is complete. Oak Point argues, relying on an erroneous reading of the funding agreement, that the city can only change long-term consultants with Oak Point's approval. But that theory is inconsistent with the funding agreement and municipal law. I think this is really important. The developer cannot be choosing their own reviewers. That's very nonsensical, and it's going to lead to not the promised control of development that Black Diamond has been told over and over they will get. The other thing that's important to know is that the developer does pay for the MDART reviewers. And on Roberts Drive, the existing reviewer contracts on the recent water main project blatantly missed wetlands. These wetlands are obvious. They're across from City Hall almost. They're on my grandfather's property. They've been there forever. My dad's lived in town his whole life. He knows where that swamp is. It's a few feet off Roberts. It was only when after people went above and beyond and reported this to state agencies to point it out that additional silt fence went up to protect those wetlands. That's not acceptable. It's not up to the citizens to find those issues. These reviewers need to find them. The runoff catch basins at the north end of Roberts Drive were added too little, too late.
Your time is up.
After there was extensive stormwater.
Your time is up.
Runoff made into Ginder Creek, polluting it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council?
Mayor, just for clarification, I think if you anyone reads the city's briefs, the city has never in any brief taken a position that the developer gets to choose the reviewers or that the city doesn't retain control over who is on the master developer review team. The city has never taken the position that that choice is up to the developer, simply that the developer gets to consult, which is what the agreement requires.
Thank you. Judy, did you have your hand up?
Judy Watson, Black Diamond. First of all, I want to thank Dee Dee and Edelman and the mayor for serving at our community center. We enjoy having you, and certainly the seniors enjoy it. The second thing I wanted to say is, Pepper, I was out and about this past week and was sorry to hear that there's people going around collecting money to support your court costs. Is that true? That's what I was told.
I don't know that.
You don't know if it's true or not?
No.
Well, it certainly sounds like it's true because that's what's being said. And whoever, I want to applaud you. This last two council meetings is the most I've ever heard you speak here. I just want to thank you guys.
Is there anyone else?
Mr. Williamson.
Andy Williamson, just for the actual clarification of the record, the Roberts Drive water line has never had a violation, has never had a Department of Ecology misinspection, has never had those things. So when something is deemed illegal, that means you've been charged with something, right? So there's nothing illegal that we're doing. We have met the review. people appealed our permits. The hearing examiner ruled we were compliant. Department of Ecology has done numerous inspections. We've had them numerous times out there. Again, we have nationally trained certified stormwater staff members. We have state certified trained staff members. So there is, those are not true statements. So when, if we had a violation, that would be at the Department of Ecology. Sometimes during construction methods, you do have discharge of dirty stormwater, and you do report those to the Department of Ecology. And we have done that with the Department of Ecology. The Department of Ecology is well aware of what we're doing there. We've had numerous inspections. We've had the Department of Fisheries. We've had wetland biologists. Trust me, this project has been well monitored. So just that's actually factual for the record. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one.
Can I just make a statement?
Yeah.
Because there's been some accusations made tonight about how, and I've heard this from other sources out in the city, that the mayor and Tammy and I are in the pocket of Oak Point, that we're beholden to Oak Point. First of all, I want to remind you, I'm still paying off a law bill that the people in Save Black Diamond backed off and ran the other way. So there is no way that I am in the pocket of Oak Point. It has cost me and my family a boatload of money to fight that development. But I'm smart enough to recognize that we have a contract. And so my job is to make sure that the city does their job and abide by the contract. And for anybody who says that I am in the pocket of Oak Point, it's an outright lie. And it's another one of those things. Prove it. There is nothing there. So you guys in Save Black Diamond need to get your act together. But it's politics, so I know you're going to lie anyway. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, I close this public comment session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.